Amen. So we read Philippians 4 and 13. So we look at this wonderful text, and I don't know, after reading all that, I hear the Hollywood crowd and the worldly crowd and the worldly church and the fake church and the fake preachers that use this, that you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. But you know, I believe this. Christ's not going to give you no strength to do something that don't glorify him.
Amen.
God's not going to strengthen you to undertake something where he's not going to be glorified. Now we'll turn on the TV tonight, and Super Bowl will be on. Lady Gaga will be out, and she may give reference to God. Thank God, Lady Gaga, God didn't give you strength to do that. Okay. Sometimes I watch the BET Awards, and Gucci Mane and Young Thug and Nicki Minaj, and they'll be sitting up in there, and they got everything out, and they first give an honor to God. Okay? God's not honored in all that cussing and swearing and hate. God's not honored.
Amen.
So when we look at a text like this, what is Paul saying? Paul been through some stuff. Paul been shipwrecked. He been stoned. He been beaten. And all because he was declaring, thus say the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And Paul was still thankful to God. He said, you know what? God, I know this for certain. I couldn't have done it without you. And many of us in here today, we'd have been through some stuff. Some of the young folks, they may blow it off a little bit. I ain't been through enough. They ain't been through enough. Okay? They ain't been through enough to understand really what the gospel is saying. They'll get it by and by.
Amen.
They'll start dealing with stuff as they get older, and they'll come back. Hopefully some of us older folks are still around and watch them grow and watch them after they go through adversity and they go through trials and they go through tribulation and they learn the true meaning of what it means to be long-suffering. They'll look at some of us old folks. Might be me. Hopefully it's me. I can watch and say, now you're getting it. You know, now you're getting it. You know, there was a story. There was a young preacher. He got up. It was preacher night. They got up and they was all preaching. And he preached on he preached on Psalms 23. And he preached it. He was flowing. He was elegant. But then when the old preacher got up and preached on, Psalms 23, everybody knew who really went through something. Really been through something. So Paul is speaking from what he know, and he's talking about the power of God. And we think about power. You know, I was sitting here taking notes, and y'all see me writing all the time. I'm writing all the time, you know, and we think of power. Word used a lot. Powerful cars and powerful trucks and powerful household cleaners and powerful drugs. They putting stuff in heroin that they never did. Fentanyl or something. They call it fentanyl. Just powerful now. Now, I was in the gym yesterday and walked in a locker room, and a young man was there. I hadn't seen him before. Never seen him in a locker room before. But he had a powerful odor on him. I walked in the gym. And I walked by him, and I was like, whew. Whew. Powerful sports teams. We you know, you're hearing this stuff, Super Bowl Sunday, you know, powerful basketball players. You know, I think about boxing a lot, especially with Jake over there. You think about Mike Tyson and Joe Lewis. You know, people don't know. One of the most powerful punchers and powerful punchers ever boxed was right from this area, from Warren, Ohio, Leavittsburg. Uh-huh. Ernie Shavers. You know, he was powerful.
Amen.
But I'm talking about the power of God.
You
know, I'm talking about the power of God who's able to do something for us. How many need some power today? And that can't just be me. I said this last, can't just be me. Folks, we need some power. We need the power of God's word in our hearts and in our lives. We talk about it all the time, but to get that power, it comes with relationship. Paul had a relationship with God, and God empowered Paul to do his work. I see folks all the time trying to do God's work with no power. Trying to do God's work with no power. It's so easy to get distracted when you don't have no power. It takes power to stay focused.
Amen.
It takes power to stay focused. It takes power to stay committed. It takes power to stay faithful. And because stuff going to come at you. You're going to get hit. You're going to get bombarded. You're going to have issues with your loved ones and wives and families and parents and jobs and just the burdens of life. And if you don't have this powerful focus, you will spread out and you will get spread so thin. You'll be good for nothing.
Amen.
Good for nothing. God is saying, Paul is saying here in Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, folks, listen, I've heard people take this out of context. Okay? And they'll throw the Spud Webb thing up. Well, you know, Spud Webb was 5'5", you know, and I talk to these kids out there where I work at. I talk to the kids all the time. Hey, what do you want to be? And where do you see yourself at in 5 years? In the NBA. Well, I'm going to be a rapper. You know, and I'm sitting here like, boy, you can't hardly put two words together. Most of these rappers that's making money got master's degrees. See, people don't even know this. And these guys got master's degrees. Some of them got doctorates. And they ain't living this stuff. They just writing what they read in the newspaper. They got their kids in private schools. Okay? You're not going to be no rapper and be retarded. You just not. You got to have some sense. These guys know something. Now, I ain't saying they know what's right, but they know something. Mm-hmm. Oh, listen. They businessmen. Mm-hmm. Okay? Listen, folks. Paul been through something. Paul had been through something. And he said, listen, tell you something. If you're gonna get this power, you're going to know God, get your diary, and recognize when God's working in your life. This ain't all about success. See? See, the world says, you know what? I can do all things through Christ with me. And I got this, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this. That's not what it's talking about.
Amen.
That's not what it's talking about. Can you get through some stuff? Has God given you the strength to get through some stuff? And many of us have been through some stuff. Okay, here's Paul in 2 Corinthians just giving us a little bit about what he was getting into, what he had been through, because he had them super apostles that came on and they were telling Paul ain't no apostle, because he was really an apostle. He wouldn't be going through all that. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 11:24. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, labor is more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and death often. Why was he going through that? Because anybody who decides to live godly in Christ, you'll suffer. Let me tell you something. And I say this to the kids this morning in Sunday school. Let me tell you something. You want to live for Christ? Put your dukes up. It's a mean world. You're going to take some blows. You're not going to be popular. You're not going to be Miss Congeniality. You're not going to be all that. Stand for Jesus in a fallen world. And I tell you this right now, I know there are a whole lot of cowardly Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They strong in the choir, they strong in Sunday school, they strong in church, but when they step out into the real world, nobody know.
Amen.
They got the camouflage on, and nobody know. Nobody know. God knows.
Amen.
God knows. Paul had been through something because of his faith, and you will too. But you know what? Rest assured, God will give you the faith. And he'll give you the power and he'll give you the strength to stand. And it's not easy to stand. I'm not sitting up here saying I stand all the time, because there's times when I have opportunities to stand for the Lord and I buckle. And I buckle. And I know what? And here's the difference. God reminds me.
Amen.
God reminds me. He said, you know what? Chaplain, pastor, preacher, that was an opportunity for you to give me glory.
Amen.
Okay? Thank you. Now take heed to it. Paul said, I was beaten with rods, once stoned, twice suffered shipwreck, a night and a day in the deep, in journeys often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of man. Listen, let me tell you something. Ain't apostles ain't going through that today. These apostles we got today ain't going through nothing. They live in large. You know what? They live in large. You talk to Benny Hinn and some of these guys, they living like kings. They ain't going through nothing. Let them be late bringing their food to their room. They sleeping on the best and living in the best. Paul said, let me tell you something. Preach Christ. I don't hear none of them standing. I don't hear them. It's the sound is silent. You think about these big time preachers. I don't hear them standing for nothing.
Amen.
because they don't want that persecution. They don't believe what they're preaching. And we love them. We love them, but they're not going to stand. They're not going to stand.
Amen.
They're not going to stand. Paul says, you need to stand. You need to stand. See, the false church has got us all confused. Listen to this. He's going to give you the strength to stand. How many need some strength right now? Somebody say, I need some strength, Pastor. I know I do. Watch what he says in Psalms 27 and 14. He said, wait on the Lord. He said, wait on the Lord and be of what? Good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, you got to know these verses, and you know you've been through something, and you can go to the verse, the scripture for comfort. He said, be of good courage, Psalm 31, 24. Be of good courage. Good courage. Excellent courage. Above average courage. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Amen. All ye that have hope in the Lord. And in the scriptures are just filled with verses of scripture that are designed to give us power to get through some stuff. Going through. Watch this now. I like this one. 1 Peter 5 and 10. Peter's talking about the grace of God here. Peter knew something about the grace of God because he was preaching in a time when Christians were getting their heads cut off. They were getting slaughtered. Nero was using them for candles at parties. They were being really thrown into the lion's den. See, we think being thrown into the lion's den today is just going to a church that's not all about faith. Going to work is like going to the lion's den. You know, how you doing today? You talk to people all the time. I'm working. I talk to people all the time. How you doing today? Oh, you know, going through. They think going to work, somebody paying them $25 and $30 an hour is a living hell. I'm sitting, I think about it. I say, how you doing today? Oh, man, I'm just going to. Or they would say sarcastically, oh, another day in paradise. You know, they'll say something like that, really meaning they hate this place. Wait a minute. Let me give you a scripture. But the God of all grace, here's Paul, who have called us, the believers, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that what? That after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. You know what? We're in the suffering business, folks. And what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He can strengthen us in our times of suffering. Okay, now I think about it. I love you guys, and when I hear Ann's getting on the road, she got a situation she got to deal with. You know what, God, give her strength to do it.
Amen.
Okay, we're not talking about give her strength to hit it big. You know, she got a situation and she needs the strength of God to deal with it, and she can rest assured that God will give her strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do some stuff. Okay. And I tell folks all the time, you know, God never going to ask you to do something that he's not going to give you the power to do it.
Amen.
If God asks you to do it, and you say, yeah, you better best believe that God's going to empower you to do it. And good, if you want to do it on your own strength, then God ain't going to. God's not going to call you to do something you can do on your own strength. He's going to call you to do the supernatural. He's going to call you to do something that you know when you get done doing it, you know that was God. You won't be up here talking about me. It'll be God. God who is rich in mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's all you will have. See, the rich fool was like, me. Be careful. Be careful with your eyes. Be careful what you mean. Somebody say you can't spell sin without I. Be careful. And how you talk. Because I talk, I listen to people. I listen. Y'all listen. I want to hear them give God glory. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, he says, you know what? I got to put myself out here. I'll use me now. But I know I'm not the only man in here that struggle with temptation. Okay? And I'm not just talking about females. I can be tempted just to water it down. Okay? I can be tempted just to join in the Black Pastor Union in Youngstown and just go along with the flow. And then listen, man, we making money. We living large. We getting big. Get that money. Get that money, Pastor. Get them people to give you money. Get you a raise. Get you a raise every year. I hear their conversations. Amen. Work them folks. Make them give. Make them give. Make them give. See, there's temptation there. But you know what? God says this. He says, there have no temptation taken you, but such as what? Common to man. Common to man. Temptation is common to man. Okay? Some folks in here, so everybody that's missing today ain't sick. Okay? Everybody that's not here today ain't sick. Because there's things going on. Okay? Some folks, yeah, sun's shining. There's things going on. There's a whole lot of temptation that pulls us away from the church because there was a time nothing was open on Sundays. There was a time you didn't have nothing to do but go to church on Sundays. Okay? They don't call it Super Bowl Monday. Oh, Super Bowl Tuesday. Why not? Because this is the Lord's Day. Okay? What happened? Super Bowl Saturday. What's wrong with that? No. We're going to get them church folks. We're going to represent our God. We're going to represent our God on the Lord's Day. But temptations are common. Bible says this, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. You know, I thought about that word escape, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here. Because if you're a Christian, if you are seriously a Christian, you are a fugitive in this world. You are a renegade. You are an escapee. How many of you are saying what I'm saying? So you're an escapee. You are a turncoat. You have turned on the world. You are a rebel. You are a traitor. You are a deserter. Where are you getting this from, Pastor? Watch this now. Stay with me. Here's Peter again, 2 Peter 1. He says, Simon Peter, servant of the apostle and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained precious faith, like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Lord and our Savior. Now watch where he goes. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? How many need grace and peace? How is it multiplied unto you? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now watch where he goes. Watch this now. According to his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Okay? I keep saying watch, but watch. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature. Partakers of his divine nature. You've been born again. You've been saved. You received a new nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. Now, when you get this divine nature, watch where Peter goes. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's the word of God. That was written years ago, thousands of years ago. So the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God have the opportunity right in front of them to escape. I remember when we had an escape at Trumbull Correctional in 19, I believe it was 96. We had a baker, the bread truck man came in and the inmates took him out of the truck, beat up the two officers and ran the truck through the fence. The yard was wide open. There was probably 200 inmates on the yard. Only, I believe, four walked out of the prison, left through the gate. And they were from Warren and got lost. I'm serious. They were from Warren, Ohio. They weren't from Cincinnati. They weren't from Akron or Cleveland. They were from Warren, Ohio. And they went through the fence. They got lost. Didn't know where they were at. Now, here's my point. Here's my point. This world we live in is like a huge prison. It's like a huge prison. It's like a huge in a place of incarceration. Okay? Now, because what Christ did at Calvary, because of God giving his only begotten son, we have the means to escape. That's what it says. Haven't escaped the corruption of the world. But you know, we got drunks and crackheads and fake preachers and fake Christians. We got wine bibbers and gluttons and adulterers and fornicators. I got all this stuff. And we just wanna stay there. I don't wanna get out. I don't wanna leave. I want to stay in prison. I want to stay incarcerated. I don't want to be a refugee. I don't want to be a renegade. I don't want to be an escapee. Let me tell you, ain't nothing wrong with it. Get out.
Amen.
See, some of us sitting here like, I ain't ready to leave yet. I don't want to be a Christian yet. I gotta smoke me some dope. I gotta do some things. I gotta sow my wild oats. Okay, I'll sing and I'll do all that stuff, but you know, as soon as I turn 18, 21, how old you got to be to drink? I got to test and see. I ain't ready for all that, Pastor. I ain't ready to move on. I ain't ready to escape. So they just step by the gate, and the warden's standing there like, if you leave, we're not going to come get you. Now you can just leave. No, I'm cool. I like being locked up. I like being caught up in my sin. I like hanging around thugs and crackheads and winos and homosexuals and I just like that lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Well, we getting ready to shut the gate, okay? Now I'm cool. I'm gonna go back in here in the cell and I'll talk to y'all later. See, and that's how we think, and I make light of it. But see, God has made a way of escape.
Amen.
Through the knowledge of God. You want the knowledge of God? I love what I see on Sunday mornings here. I love hearing the adult class, folks in there just bubbling, asking questions. Just wear them teachers out. Just wear them teachers out. Okay? Wear them teachers out. Ask some questions. Get you some knowledge. Get you some knowledge, because God is saying in his word, knowledge is what's going to set us free. No knowledge, no heaven. Okay? No knowledge, no heaven. Get you some knowledge. I don't know how much you need, but get some. You need to have something. When you get to the gate, listen, you got any knowledge? Get you some knowledge. Get you some knowledge. I keep saying that. Get you some knowledge. Think about this. The power of God in the church. We'll make the church great. It's got to have the power of God working. Watch this verse here. Y'all know these verses. I'm trying to get y'all know real deep stuff. Watch this. Paul, talking to the Roman, to the believers in Rome. And he's not ashamed. See, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Pastor, what is the gospel of Christ? Y'all know I had to go there. It's John 3:16. That's the gospel of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. But the key is believing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is. For it is the power of God. See, Brian, with all these lost souls coming here for vacation Bible school, we got 2 weeks. It ought to be a scene of sheer desperation. I mean, 2 weeks to make a difference in somebody's life. 2 weeks, these kids going to come in here knowing nothing. And we got 2 weeks. That's why I say, well, we got to rethink some things. Because I need my teachers. I need the ones that's going to be ministering to these kids. They need to have the right stuff.
Amen.
They need to be full of the word and full of love and joy and passion. They need to be full of energy and healthy Christians. You can't have spiritually sick folk coming into your church and spiritually sick folk trying to teach them. So we have to step it up. This is desperate times. These times are desperate. Yeah, 8-year-old kid carrying a gun to school. Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's sitting on the kitchen table, God, you know, God forbid the parents are that negligent. But 8 years old, you ought to know something. You don't take no gun to church at 8 years old. Now it has some 8 year olds. I know it's 8 year old. You should be able to think at eight. I think at 8 years old, you about ready to make a decision for heaven and hell. You got to get you up to five. After five, you know when you acting a fool. Now, I ain't sitting there saying that's the age of accountability. I know I get caught on that. But you know, if you 8 years old and you can order off the adult menu, then Paul says this. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto what? Salvation. Salvation. I hear this choir singing salvation today." The power of God to rescue you. And when them kids come in here in June for VBS, the power of God ought to be in this place. They'll walk into a place of something supernatural going on in here. So these folks are filled with the power of God. Amen. The love and the joy of doing ministry ought to just be flowing. Sometimes I see folks snapping at each other and arguing and fussing. Can't have that. It's got to be a love fest. But the love of God, amen. Love of God, it's the power of God. The power of God. You don't have the power of God, you ought not be ministering to nobody. You ought not be ministering to nobody. You ought not be touching nobody. If you don't have the power of God in you. I mean, you can't even stand up and read the scriptures with the church. You can't even stand when we do a responsive read. You can't even sing the morning hymn. You ought not be no teacher. You ought not be ministering. You ought not be touching. You ought not be doing singing.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with stepping down. You're making a fool out of yourself.
Amen.
Got to beg you to stand up. Beg you to read. Beg you to do everything that I want to be. Power of God is in you.
Amen.
I said last week, you ought to be running to get to church. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." We ought to be happy. We ought to be waking up, ready to go. Clothes ironed and pressed. I'm ready to go, Dad. Don't you be late. And I had to wake up my whole house today other than Cindy. I'm ready to go. Y'all want to ride with me? And John come upstairs and ain't got no socks on and flip-flops. Ray said, "Why my clock didn't go off?" It's 8 o'clock. But I want to work in ministry. I want to do some stuff. I want to do nothing. Now I just use Ray. I know it happened in everybody's families. Ready to do ministry. We got to get busy. A great church is a great church. What we say in Sunday school this morning, a great church filled with active believers. What else an active believer? Someone who is healthy. Healthy. Full of energy. Are you healthy? I don't mean healthy when you're working out and on the Stairmaster. I'm talking about spiritually healthy. Full of energy. I'm not talking about you wake up and pop down 2-5 hours. I'm talking about full of energy for the things of God. I'm excited. I'm excited. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go to the house of God.'" Listen, Dad, if you ain't ready, Randy should be like, "You ain't ready. I'm getting ready to call Uber driver. I ain't going to be late." I may come get him. Listen, see, lack of strength will destroy you.
Amen.
Lack of strength will destroy you. Let me tell you, let me give you this story. Here's a boy, here's a young man that had no strength. No strength. No strength. Couldn't fight off the devil. See, the devil, you got to have strength to fight off the devil. Let me tell you something, the devil ain't coming at you weak. He's not coming at you weak. He's not, here come the devil. Nah, he's coming at you. He's coming at you. He ain't not losing his strength because he know his time is limited. He's desperate. Let me tell you something. The devil is so much more desperate than the church. Okay? The devil is desperate. He's not playing with these kids. You know, I sit here, and the young lady on the south side, you know, just speeding, running from the cop. They got to kick her window out, taser her. I'm sitting here like, didn't a kid just a couple weeks ago, the young girl stealing over at the Walmart store, turned the corner. Somebody told me that she hit a curb and sliced her head off. Her head rolled down the street. Just not paying attention. You know, we're not paying attention. We out here acting like fools. Satan ain't playing. Amen. Taking folks out. Yep. You know, head just sliced right off. And you know, they sew her head back on, put her in the box. And the preacher, oh, she in a better place now. Huh? Listen. Here's the spiritual. Here's this young boy. Now I'm going to talk to some of y'all. Help somebody. Okay? So no. Here's this Matthew 17. He said, and they came, and when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son or my daughter, for he or she is a lunatic. A lunatic. And sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. No power. Satan come, throw him in the fire, throw him in the water, trying to kill him. And some of y'all say, well, I ain't getting thrown on you in the fire now. Okay? See, you in the fire now, because I know some of you getting hot just listening to me. Okay? Listen, now watch this now. There's a first sign of powerlessness. Falling through the fire. Just falling through the fire. Who falls into a fire? Okay? Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire. That fire represents a whole lot of things. Might not be a literal fire. Might be just hanging out with the wrong folks. Might just got a problem with drinking. Might got a problem with drugs. He just falls into something that's going to kill him. Okay? He's running in circles with folks that trying to destroy him. And don't even know. And often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. They were powerless. They had no cure. And Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. See? So you take your lunatic kids to the average church and they're going to entertain them. Okay? Well, you know, we're going to entertain the kids. We got kids' day. You know, and the kids up there miming and dancing. And you know, we got to make them. Okay, we got to make them. We got to keep them here. We don't want them to leave. I heard a preacher yesterday. I thought it was interesting. I listened to a sermon and the preacher say, if you got roaches in your house, he said, you don't call an exterminator to say, I don't want the roaches to leave. See, what the church do, we can bring all this mess into the church, and instead of us preaching the gospel to them, we just, no, when you preach the gospel, they're going to leave. Let's entertain them. Put some roach food out. Just leave crumbs all over the place, and you know, and termites and all that. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. And kids need to hear the word of God. You need to keep them upright. Keep them upright. And they can't stay woke in church and then sit in the bed at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Amen. Take them tablets and phones and stuff. You need to stay alert in church. Amen. Stay alert. You've been waking up and laying all over the furniture, laying all over the couches, sitting their head down the whole time. Uh-huh. And then when they're in jail, now they're going to be upright. Now you're going to be, you know. But they probably said, don't call the pastor. Don't call Pastor Neil. I'm telling him I'm in jail. I'm coming. Bringing the Bible with me. with the collar on, the whole thing, okay? You don't have to say, I'm just going to sit there and look at you. Watch this now. They couldn't heal the boy. They couldn't do nothing with the boy. And Jesus called his disciples. He said, they, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Bring your kids to a place where God's word is being preached, where God's word, there's healing in the word.
Amen.
Bring them to me. See, we got people out here preaching this mess. You can't get served. You can't get saved when a preacher preaches about why you shouldn't eat hot dogs. Okay. Five love languages. You don't need to hear about that on Sunday morning. You need to hear what thus say the Lord.
Amen.
And you need to hear some scriptures. Somebody told me, Jake preached the other day, he had 31 scriptures. Somebody write them down. 31, 35 scriptures. I'm going to hear the word of God.
Amen.
I won't hear no mess. It ain't always going to be comfortable. Amen. I'll be sitting up there. I'll be like, I'll be taking hits too. I'm not immune. I don't got it all together. I'm a work in progress.
Amen.
So I love hearing these preachers preach the word. When you start preaching junk, ain't going to minister to me. I need to be ministered to.
Amen.
Okay? And faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring them to me. How about that? Bible said, forbid not the children to come to me. For what? For such is the kingdom of God. You know, you go to some church, they shuffle all the kids down into the kiddie room and play VeggieTale movies. I'm not that deep. Go ahead, scream on, babies. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Somebody said amen. They don't know how yet. Watch this now. You know what else cost them? Unbelief. Unbelief will destroy you. Unbelief will destroy you. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. We ain't going to be saying nobody if we don't believe. I don't get on the teachers. I just want my teachers. I just want the people that's teaching in here to be believers.
Amen.
To be believers. To be full of life. Full of the gospel. Full of love and joy and peace. Full of it. Because if you don't have it, you can't give it.
Amen.
You can't give it. You can't give it. And I'm not condemning anybody. You know, I just want you to be ready. Because we got 2 weeks. And we're pouring a whole lot of money into these 2 weeks. And we're going to spend a lot of time. Folks going to be altering their schedules. And we're going to be a desperate church. Desperate church. A great church is a desperate church. A desperate church. Think about it. Let me keep moving. I got all this stuff. Because we're in an incarcerated world. I got this story here in 2 Timothy. Here's what you got to escape. And it takes the power of God to do it. And this stuff is old. This stuff is old. The Bible old. See, that's why a lot of people don't like it. That's old, man. That's old stuff, man. You got to get hip. Get you a new Bible. An old King James, man. Me, you know, I got the new versions. All that stuff is out of that. All the dust in the thousand. You know, get you a new Bible. They doing something different. God is doing something new. God ain't doing nothing new. Okay? Paul says this. Think about what we live in. He said, know this. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. How about that? What are we waiting for? All the signs is in place. He said, in the last day, there's going to be lawlessness throughout the land. That's all you see in the day. You know, lawlessness throughout the land. Perilous times shall come. Well, you know what? For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Okay? What is natural affection? You know what? You love your children. You know, a man loves his wife. A wife loves her husband. Without natural affection, it's all screwed up. People don't love their kids. And men love men. And women love women. And men love little kids. And little... That's it. See, we living in a day without natural affection because, listen, let me tell you something. It'll be a law. Because a man saying, man, well, you know, I was born attracted to men. And the woman said, I was born attracted to women. And an old 50-year-old joker said, well, I was born attracted to little kids.
Uh-huh.
See, what's the difference? And there are people right now and laws and lawyers fighting to make it legal to be with a 50-year-old man can be with a 10-year-old. That's on the books. Because that's where we're heading. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good. Let me tell you, preach that. Preach that. You'll be hated. And the LGBTQ movement hates you when you preach the truth, preach God's word. Power to equip. I like this one. I like this. The church that God says is great will have the power to equip. You go to a car dealership. Now, I see some new cars out there. I see some new cars in the parking lot. You know what? You go to the dealership. You say, you know what? You know, and the salesman is designed to sell you all this stuff. He wants you to get the full package. Okay? Listen, I got this model here, but I got this one over here. Just for $1,500 more, you can have every option available. GPS. Sirius radio, Bluetooth, MP3, sunroof, backup light, power mirrors, heated seats. Whew. That's the one I want. That's the one I want. But see, when we come to the Lord, see, when we come to the Lord, we come to the Lord's house. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Do we want the same things for our spiritual life that we want for our physical life, our materialistic life? What if we equipped ourselves like we equip our flesh? What if we equipped our spiritual life like we equip our flesh? I mean, we'd be loaded, huh? We'd be loaded. We'd be loaded, seriously. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Give me everything. You know, you walk to the Lord, I don't know what illustration to use for this one. So you come in, maybe in an army, and you come in to get your equipment, get your clothes and everything. You know, give me everything. You want everything. You want everything. I want the belt. I want the shoes. I want everything I got coming. Okay? Give me everything. Now, step up to the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm your child. I'm going to serve you. I'm getting ready to go to battle for you. I'm going to give me everything. Give me everything. Give me everything. You're going to be weighted down. You're going to be weighted down. How many of us have really asked God for everything? All his equipment. Give me everything. Give me the whole armor of God. Give me that helmet. Give me them boots. Give me that shield. I mean, give me. Do we ask God to equip us for this battle? Or we just want to be light, you know, out there with no helmet on, no shield. No equipment at all. No gun, no bullet, nothing. And we get wore out. Church get wore out. Can't stand for nothing. I was talking to one of the students, and they had an issue in class. And it's just weird stuff, because you're going to be called out. You know what somebody's saying? You know? Teach evolution. I was telling one of the students, I was taught evolution, but I ain't had no godly parents. I ain't had no divine direction. I wasn't in church. Wasn't no preacher preaching to me. Evolution was a farce. Wasn't real. I was going, listen, here, if you say the fish jumped out of water, got in some legs, turned into a monkey, and now driving cars, I'm cool. I didn't know no better. Okay? But see, and that's what Paul said. I did it out of ignorance and unbelief. But see, some of y'all know that ain't true. So you're sitting up in evolution class, and the teacher say, well, you know, you was a monkey. Really? See? We don't even know. Who in here would say, no, that's not true, based on the word of God? Amen. You go to the principal's office. We don't hear no God. Well, I'm going to the principal's office. Call my pastor. He'll come get me for that. God, you know, God saves us and keeps us. And I, you know, we hear so much talk about the wall anymore. I'm so sick about the wall. But then I thought about this. As a child of God, if you are a child of God, if you are, you know, God has put a wall around you.
Amen.
If you're a child of God, now we say, oh, the wall, the wall, the wall. I don't want to hear no more about wall. Listen, if you are a child of God, this is why you have so much confidence, and this is why you can stand, and this is why you can declare the gospel, because you know that God has a wall around you. Amen. Talk to me, Pastor. Here's Job. Here's Job. Y'all know the story. Job 1 and 8. Here's Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" Y'all know I can sit up here and say, I talk big. You know why I talk big? Because I got a big God and I got a big wall around me. I ain't worried about nothing.
Amen.
I ain't running for a governor. I ain't running for a mayor. I ain't running for the councilman. They can pull all my CDs and tapes. Because I got a wall around me.
Amen.
See? I got a wall around me. There's none like him in the earth. He had perfect and upright man. One that feared God. And a shoe of evil, one that fear God, reverence for God, reverence for the things of God, love the things of God, and despises evil. I was talking to the kids today. What you gonna do? What you gonna do, young man, young woman? What you gonna do when the bong is going around the room? When the hookah pipe, it's your turn to hit it. First of all, what you doing there? When we was at the day, what you gonna do when Justin? What you gonna do when it come to you? Child of God, sing in the choir, usher, hold a plate, pray when the pastor asks. Now the bomb coming your way. What you gonna do? See? You gotta think about it. You're in trouble. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, Lord, he said, do Job fear God for not? Thou hast made a hedge about him. And about his house, and about all that he have on every side, and has blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're a child of God, you got a hedge around you. You got a hedge around you. You can stand. And you know what? And even if it costs you your life, okay? Even if it costs you your life.
Amen.
Stand anyway. Know why? Know why? Because God still has given us the power to endure death.
Amen.
Now, if you're sitting here today scared of death, oh, I'm so scared of dying. Well, you might not have what you think you have.
Amen.
Okay? See, we ought not be scared of dying.
Amen.
Why? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. See, when you know something, and you don't say, well, Pastor, he just long, and Madison was long Friday. They just long. You know? You go to Kent State and you pay $150 an hour or credit, and then professors go teach you for an hour. And you can sit up and listen to that mess. Okay. And then you come to church and say, well, you know, that's long. He long. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. God is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. And you know, I can preach a long time. Y'all know that. And I know Madison had me in mind. He was talking about Paul was long at preaching and fell out of window. But I let him go with that. I ain't get on him about it. He was thinking about me. He was preaching about me. Just don't fall out of that chair over there. Okay? So watch this now. Watch this now. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm about to wrap this up. Honestly, I am. I'm about to wrap this up. He says this. He said, in a moment, and in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, okay, for the trumpet shall sound. It shall sound. That means it's going to sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay? For this corruptible, come on now, stay with me now. This is important now. If you don't get nothing else, you got to get this. Deacon Jeremy, you have to get this. For this corruptible, this filthy, ragged flesh must put on incorruption. in this mortal, godless human pile of flesh. Even that little 20 pound of flesh over there, Jake Holden. At some point in her life, she going to have to put on incorruptible. You can sprinkle her and do all that and hit her with the oil. But at some point in her life, she's going to have to make a conscious decision whether she's going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or deny him. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Watch this now. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immorality, watch this. Then, if you ain't got it on, they ain't no thin for you. Okay? Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Why? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, and the law can't save you.
Amen.
The law only can point to your sins. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be you what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, listen, let me tell you something. You got to put it on. You got to put on incorruption. You got to put on incorruptible. Excuse me. We got on corruption. You know, you were born with corruption. You ain't got to put that on. But let me close. I don't want to. Honestly, I don't. Because some of y'all sit here like, you know, well, Pastor, you know what? You say all that stuff. God can't use me. God can use you.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Let me give you something. God can use anybody in here.
Amen.
Abraham was old. God used him.
Amen.
Sarah laughed when the angel showed up and said, you're going to have a child. Sarah just laughed. Moses, I was hoping Matthew was here. Moses had a stuttering problem. You know, Moses had a stuttering problem. He didn't talk real plain, but you know what? God still used him.
Amen.
Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Jacob was a liar. Oh, Jacob was a liar. John was self-righteous. Apostle Paul, God used him. Look at him. Look at you, Apostle Paul. And he was a murdering, slaughtering. Noah was a drunk. Rahab, how about that? Rahab, running her little bordello. Okay. And the spies just showed up. And God used Rahab. Listen, Rahab married some Salmon, and who had Boaz, who became the husband of Ruth. Listen. How about David? An adulterer, womanizer, murderer. God used him. Somebody talk about Jonah. Jonah ran from God. God used him. Matthew said that tax collector, Beth, boom, ripping off people. I always say Matthew was like a drug boy, like a dope boy, just taxing everybody, just destroying his community, and God used him.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, you ain't got to meet yet. God used a little boy. Had 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Still ain't hit you yet. Let me give you the scripture. I don't want y'all to think I'm just making this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 2:16. Because it's going to sound harsh. I was able to pass it. Just, no. You think you sitting here and God can't use you. But God used, watch this now. But was rebuked for his iniquity, his sin. He was rebuked. I forget who it was now. That's why my mind just ran from me. But God used, the Bible says, the dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. See? So now, everybody know they can be used. Everybody, God can use all of us. All of us to do his work. And the only qualification, that you believe in the gospel. That you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he died for your sins. And you know what? When you get there, you got most of it licked. Somebody said, I can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. That's a favorite word for some people. I can't. And I know most of us in here that's doing ministry is doing a whole lot of other things. Most of us that God is using in here to do ministry, teaching and different things like that, we got busy schedules. God always uses busy folks.
Amen.
Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the holiness of your word. Thank you for the power of God in the church. We want to declare like Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. For the Jew first and then the Greek. Father, I pray right now that the power of God would just come into this place and come into the lives of all those that call you Lord and Savior. Bless our young people. They grow up, Father God, and they would grow up and they would be strong and mighty in the scriptures. Father, we need young folks strong and mighty in the scriptures. We got enough young folks throwing rocks through windows, and we got enough rappers, and we got enough Nicki Minaj's. We got enough of that. We need some educators and some folks that love you and give you glory in all they do. We got enough young thugs. We got enough quarterbacks and wide receivers. We need some born again saved folks who walk in the power of God. Father, thank you for everything in Jesus' name.